this evening, I'm asking you an important question. The question is, do you love God? Do you love God? Now, I am looking for the real answer. I'm not looking for the correct answer. All right? You don't, not answering me, but I want you to answer for yourself. Do you love God? The correct answer, of course, is yes. But if you really examine your heart, if you examine your life, think about the things that you do. Think about the things that you say, the things that you think. What kinds of entertainment are you involved in? What kinds of activities do you do as a matter of habit? How often, how frequently, how much of your life is devoted to listening to God and doing what He says? Do you know how to know if you love God? There's another question. What is the proper test to know if you love God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because God has the answer. He always does. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. While Jesus Himself said that we are first and foremost to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, everything and all that we are, if we evaluate our lives, do we fit in that category? Well, John tells us here in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Follow along here, verse 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest. We get our word phantom, manifestation, or think about revelation. It appears. It becomes apparent. It's when things click in your mind, all of a sudden it's revealed. Or evidence is brought to court. The evidence, the manifestation of what happened is there. The love of God is manifested towards us that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfaction of God's wrath, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. First point that I want you to see here is to love others because God loves you. Now, John always writes in a way that he seems like a ping pong ball to me. He comes over here and he goes back over there and he comes back over here and he comes back over there. But it all flows very well because it builds on each other. We've talked about love. John's talked about love. But he needs to mention it again. Here he's putting it in the context here of love for God and the love who God is. God is love. He's building up because he's going to pull that together in the great love exchange to bring it to a testimony of God and then the maturing of that and showing that love towards others. So look here, he says the first thing, point here, love others because God loves you. If you look at verse 8, the last part there, it says specifically, God is love. God is not simply or love is not simply something that God does. Sometimes we think that way. Sometimes we put the attributes of God in cubbyholes. You've gone to some place, remember the old skating rink? Or sometimes airports used to have them. I'm sure they don't anymore. Or bus stops. There used to be the lockers there. And you can lock something up. They have it down the zoo. You can lock something up in there. And each person has just a small, maybe 12 by 12 locker. And you could put your purse in there. You could put your makeup in there. You could put... Guys don't put nothing in there. They carry it all. You can put whatever you want in there. And you can lock it up. And each person has a separate bin. Sometimes people think that's the way God is. God's a little bit of love. He's a little bit of mercy. He's a little bit of faithfulness. Puts one in each different cubby, as each one is a part of God. Some, you might think here, that love is something that God does. He is a good and gracious God. And His kindness He demonstrates through His love. So sometimes when we think about God, we might think of Him as loving. John says specifically, though, that God is love. See, God is the sum of His attributes, to be theological on you. God isn't loving, He is love. Therefore, He's loving. God doesn't have an attribute of holiness, part of Him holiness. God is holy. God is righteous. All of Him is love. All of Him is righteous. All of Him is just. Think of it this way. How much of you is happy? Well, your right foot and your right foot over here and your left hand, right? They're happy, but your right hand and your left foot are sad, right? It doesn't work that way, does it? You're either all happy or all sad. God is all holy, all loving, all just, all at the same time. So when John writes here that God is love, it is who He is. It's His character. It's what He does. It's not just simply what He does, but all of who He is. So understand, God is love. That doesn't negate the fact that He is just, but He demonstrates His love towards us. He is love. And God's love is revealed to you. How is God's love revealed to you? Well, He says here in verses 9 and 10, in this is love. This is what love is. God was the love that God has manifested towards us, that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. How do we demonstrate love? Well, we can demonstrate love by having somebody over for the football game. That's extreme amount of love, right? You're going to share your snacks with them and share your TV so they can watch the game. You're going to go over and take cookies to your neighbor. You're going to wave and say hi, smile at people. You're going to forgive the cashier for taking an hour and a half to ring you through the three items that you have. You can demonstrate God's love that way. Or you can demonstrate love that way. God demonstrates His love to a much greater extent, such that He sent His one and only Son to die for you. Now that is a demonstration of love. We think about ourselves being sacrificial in our love, but are we that sacrificial in our love? Not that we give our own children to be crucified or burned or whatever for somebody else, but a sacrificial love that demonstrates God's love. He goes on in verse 10 and has to tell you the same thing. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says here, love isn't that we loved God. How much can we love God? Well, not much. We can to a degree, but nothing near what He loves us. God demonstrated His love so that in the end, we find in letter C there, God loves you. He demonstrated His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. He loved you. Specifically, the song that while He was on the cross, I was on His mind. That's true. He died for the sins of the whole world personally. Not just a general blanket, oh, I think I'm going to do this. But very specifically, specific people and individuals. Specifically, you is who He died for. Understand that. Sometimes we get an idea that God, Christ, when He died on the cross, He died, and it's like if you got a bunch of water bottles, and you went out here on the sidewalk. And as people walked by, you just had them sitting there, or you just handed to whoever came by. There's enough there for everybody. But what God did is He specifically had you in mind when He died on the cross. It wasn't just a general, well, if they come, they might get some. If they don't, they won't get any. No, it was purposeful, intentional kind of love for us. Enough for the whole world so that whoever may come can come. But we see here that He loves you specifically. I like the song, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father churned His faiths away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me from life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Paul put it this way. In Ephesians chapter 3, this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding, passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of God is so magnificent. So then, the great love exchange is this. We find that God has loved us and demonstrated that love in a tremendous way. Love, we need to love others. Then as a result, in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God or from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If God loved us this way, we need to love others. He makes the note at the end of verse 7, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Do you know God? Have you been born of God? Well, he's not done with the test. We asked those questions. We haven't answered them yet. We're setting up for it. Notice here that God's love is a testimony of himself. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Now no one has seen God at any time." Now, this is the craziest place to put a phrase like this. He's talking about God and God's love and God's demonstrated love. Then he says something about seeing God. But then he goes on and says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Has absolutely nothing to do with that sentence there. That no one has seen God at any time. Well, you know what that means. It must be a mistake, an error in the Bible. Somebody added it. Well, if we stopped right there, we'd probably come to that conclusion. But you know what we can always do? We can always do what I told Zach he had to do. Read the context. What is the context? Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son into the world, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I don't know if you caught it yet, so go back to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let's have it memorized. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifest, and we have seen him, and bear witness, and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father, and which was manifest to us, that we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Where in the world now does this scene come in? No one has seen God at any time. It comes in when you see what the effect of love does in the believer. We see that God's Holy Spirit comes in us. And it says in verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us. There you're finding the part of the answer to how do I know if I love God? If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has perfected, matured, made complete in us. How can anyone see who God is? Remember what the disciples asked? They wanted to see the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do people today see God? In you, in your life. How are you living your life? How are you demonstrating that God is love? You don't have to give a testimony of all the other things you do that you do to show how great you are. People won't see God that way. But if you share with others the testimony of what God's love has done in you, and you show what God's love has done in you by showing that love to other people, guess what people find out? You are one of his disciples. By John chapter 13, verse 35, by this they will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's go on here. God's love is a testimony of himself. Love's maturing work produces confidence. He says in verse 12, the very end, that love has been perfected in us. mature, complete, we have God's love in us. We need to demonstrate it. In verse 17, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because love involves torment, or fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been perfected in love. Have you seen this verse used, that love, perfect love casts out fear? And someone explained to you, therefore you've got no reason to be afraid of anything. That's not what this verse says. The context is, in light of God's judgment, we don't have to be afraid. We can be at rest. We can be at peace because of God's love. It says in verse 17, we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When God demonstrated His love towards us, and when we live out that love in our lives and demonstrate our love for Him, guess what happens? We're not afraid of judgment, because we know we are resting in Him. We abide in Him. He told us two things in here about us demonstrating we belong to Him. It's that if we love one another, in verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So right there we see it. We see it in the giving of His Holy Spirit. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Holy Spirit. So are we living, loving others, and are we recognizing the Holy Spirit is in us? We're not done. We go a little further here to verse 19. Verse 19, while we see love's maturing work produces confidence, we don't have to be afraid of eternal consequences. Our love must be real. It has to be genuine. It has to be the real thing. You're looking at the politicians today. Are they the real deal? Is it all the facade? Is it all a bunch of promises? Or are they really serious about what they want to do? Love must be real. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, oh, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I thought this verse should be tossed out when I was a kid. Do you know that? Did not like this verse at all. Because you know what this verse says? If I don't love my brother, Jason, then guess what? I can't love God. How can I love him who I haven't seen? No man has seen God at any time. And how can I love him who I have not seen if I don't love my brother whom I have seen? Consider that. How do I know if I love God? He says here that I have to love fellow believers. I took it as my physical brother. I'm glad to know as fellow believers, because then I don't really have to love him. But he's a believer too, so I guess I still have to love him. I want you to put it all together so far. I want you to understand that we can know if we love God. And the key is, are we demonstrating the love God has given to us, to other people? Especially to those of the household of faith. Are we? Again, mentioned before, but understand that this love that God did wasn't just, well, I'm not going to be as mean to them. Or I'll say hi in the hallway. He sacrificed his own son. It was an intentional outputting from himself, an intentional seeking and saving of others. Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done in selfish ambition nor conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. How are you doing in your life? We can look at kids. Maybe remember when we were kids. Especially if we look at our kids. You, your kids. I'll look at my kids. When you look at your kids, are they making sure that they're putting each other first? Well, it kind of depends. If they're in line for spankings, the other person go first. Are they looking out for each other that way? The right way? Are we looking out for the betterment of our fellow believers? That's what love does. And if we say we love God, but we've got a problem with somebody here, either at church or another believer outside of church, we make ourselves to be a liar. How can we love God who has saved them as well? How can we love God who has given blessings and encouragement to them as well? How can we love God to the fact that we won't keep his commandments if we really loved him? Because if we really loved him, we keep his commandments, because his commandment is that you love one another. Verse 21, and this commandment that we have heard from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Finally, verse 20 there, all the way through verse 5, it says, if anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, there's no reason, like I mentioned, we shouldn't love somebody else who is saved the same way we are. By this, we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. How do you love God? How do you know if you really love God? Are you, one, loving other believers? That's what's going through here. He's mentioned it before. If you enjoy being in the fellowship with other believers, if you love to help other believers, if you're self-sacrificing for other believers, if you have a love, a real genuine love for other people, a love that demonstrates itself. You have the love of God in you. And demonstrate that you love God because you love his people also. And along with that, keep his commandments. The one commandment being to love one another. But about his other commandments. Some people look at Christians and say that Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, you could look at it that way, but the do's and don'ts don't do anything for you. It's a lot of don'ts and do's. It doesn't. It might make you feel good about yourself, but just because you're not drinking, you're not smoking, you're not chewing, you're not out the dance halls or movie theaters, which everybody knows are really bad. You're not listening to rock music. You're not wearing anything outside of the house except a tie and a jacket, and you have your hair, your head looks good, you have your shoes are always tied. And when you go on public, you don't cuss and swear, and you don't do this and that. And you make sure you go to church, because that's really important, and you're baptized, and that you're there at all the events, and then you're given to the poor, and given to the needy, and you're helping the neighbor out, and helping the coworkers out, and you're working really hard. You're doing all that good stuff. So what? Salvation is not because of the do's and don'ts. Salvation is because God loved you. He sent His only Son to pay the penalty for your sin. And as a result of His love for us, we love Him. And our love for Him causes us to want to honor Him. He and she get married. And having been married, their love continues to grow for one another. And they demonstrate that love. How? Because he knows what irritates her and won't do it unless he's in a mood to irritate her. Why? Because he loves her. She knows how to show her love for him. $50 gift card to Sears Hardware. She knows how to do that. And so she does that. Why? Because they love each other. They will do things and not do things to and for each other. Why? Because of their love for one another. They want to please the other person. That's what salvation is about. God loving us. And in return, we love Him. And because we love Him, we want to honor Him with our lives. When you go through 1 John, you see the time and time again to keep His commandments. I hope you're not thinking to yourself, oh, another list of do's and don'ts. Some of those don'ts are not really don'ts. Some of those do's aren't really that necessarily great do's. Are we seeking to accomplish something by our do's and don'ts, or are we seeking to honor God with our life? How do you know if you love God? The two main things he said here. Are you loving other people? And are you keeping His commandments? If we find ourselves not loving God the way that really John says we should, then do you know what? We might have to look at the text and see how we're liars. And ask the question, does Christ abide in us? Does His Holy Spirit dwell in us? If not, then what we need to do is make sure that's true. If He does, then what's keeping us from doing what's right? What's keeping us from loving God the way we should? What's keeping us from obeying His commandments?